following sermon audio is from Love City Church, Cincinnati. More audio and information about Love City Church can be found at www.mylovecitychurch.org.
Good morning, church. Praise God for all of you. Really happy to be here worshiping with you this morning. I'm Vince, one of the pastors here, if you don't know that. And the first thing I want to make sure is clear is that on fifth Sundays, we do something called family worship. So if it's your first time or if you haven't been around very long, we don't always have all the kids in here, but we are always really excited when we do. Right, adults? We like having the kids with us. So every time there's a fifth Sunday, we do family meal the last Sunday of every month, but if there's a fifth Sunday, we do family worship, and so that's one of those days. So we are also going to have lunch after the service today, okay? Want to just quickly mention, we had Trunk or Treat last night. That went really well. Thank you to everyone that came and helped. It was awesome. Great job. One quick story. Ashley was running the booth out here, Miss Ashley, giving away full-size candy bars and Bibles, and one of the kids said, "Can I have one of those?" And she said, "Yeah, that's what they're for." And kid grabbed the Bible and said, "I got my first Bible," and kind of yelled it out to everybody. So that's just a little picture of why we go through what we go through to pull that event off. If that's all we knew about it, that would be enough. So. Okay. Also, on Family Worship Sundays, what typically happens is I answer a question that has come from the kids in kids' discipleship. Okay? And let me say this real quick. Parents, I know it can be nerve-wracking having the kids in here and you feel like they're squirming or they're noisy. Please, we understand what we've done by having all the kids in here. And so the living room is open if you or little ones need a break, okay? And the live stream's in there. We also have a nursing mother's room with a live stream as well, okay? So nobody feel bad about that. So I'm going to answer the question today. And you guys always like to ask questions that are exceptionally hard to answer in 15 minutes. What happens to babies when they die? Okay, so that's a big question. I think that question comes out of the fact that we're constantly teaching the kids there's only one way to be saved, by putting faith in Jesus. So that makes them think, well, what about babies? Can they do that? Okay. So we're going to start in the scriptures, which is where we should always start. We're trying to answer questions about God and what he does and why he does it. All right. So I'm in Psalm 86, and I'm going to start in verse 12. It should be on the screens. It says this: "I will give thanks to you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For your graciousness toward me is great, and you have saved my soul from the depths of Sheol. God, arrogant men have risen against me. The gang of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in mercy and truth." Okay? So we read that because I think that's a good summary of God's character. Now, the next thing I need is three brave kids to help me preach this sermon. Mabel, you're up. Levi, come on. Ooh, you guys make it hard. Both of you come. I'm going to make it four kids. Come on. Now, you know you're going to have to talk in a microphone, right? Anyone want to sit down? Well, I didn't mean there, you goofus. Stand back up. All right. Let me see how to set this up. Okay. I want Mabel first. You come here. I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to help me preach the sermon, okay? Because I don't know all the answers. All right, so here's my first question. Is God good or evil?
Good.
Give her a hand. You can sit down. Awesome job. Okay, we saw that in the verse that we just read, right? You, Lord, you're compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in mercy and truth. You're going to be last because I got a whopper for you. Man, you guys, yeah. All right, I think either of you can handle either one of these. Okay, Jordy? Does God want to save people or hurt people?
Save people.
Good man. Have a seat. I knew this sermon was going to be easy to preach. Okay, Dean, this one's a little deeper. You ready for it? All right, I think you got it. If you need a clue, you just let me know, all right? I'll help you on this one. Do we know every single thing about who God is, what he does, and why he does it? Do we know every single thing? If you want a clue, let me know.
No.
Man, you are a beast. Come on, dude. You can have a seat. Ooh, you might have to sit up here a minute. Let's just do this. How are we saved?
By putting our... Oh, that's weird.
The mic? I know. Yeah, I do this every week, bro.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks this is easy. It's really not.
It's really not. Putting our faith in the finished work of Jesus and believing that he died on the cross to save us.
Bro, come on now. Hey, do you want to just finish this sermon?
I'm good.
All right. Okay. Now, I just figured I'd pull a Jesus on you kids and answer your question by asking you a bunch of questions. So, all right. What Dean answered, okay, I want to make sure I qualify that because everyone might not be on board. Do we know absolutely everything about what God does and who he is and why he does what he does? Let me give you this, Deuteronomy 29:29. Dean, you are 100% right, buddy. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. Okay, so in Deuteronomy, we're given this idea that the Bible gives us a lot of information about who God is and what he does and why he does it, but it doesn't give us, we don't know everything about God and all his motives, partially because God is infinite. He's so big and so mighty and so wonderful, I don't think we could even understand it if he told us half the time what he's doing and why, okay? So these are important principles to remember. Everything I just asked those guys are important principles to remember. God is good. He wants to save us. And we also don't know everything we'd always like to know. Those are important principles to remember anytime we're thinking through a difficult Bible question, all right? So, as I said, our question today is, what happens to babies when they die? Do they go to be with Jesus or not? That's the question, all right? So, and I could make this a lot shorter today, and I was tempted to. I could just kind of give you some quick thoughts about it, and it will still be quick. Don't panic, parents. But we're going to go a little longer than just the quickest way to do this, because today is I'm preaching to the kids, but I'm also preaching to the parents, and I want to give a model for parents of how to think through complicated Bible questions with their kids, okay? Because this is a pretty highly emotional question, but we got to be careful as Bible people that we don't just answer questions from our emotions. We want the truth of Scripture to teach us what it is God is doing and why, okay? So, now some people would answer this question very quickly. They would say, yes, of course, babies go to be with Jesus when they die because God is good and God is loving and he wants to save people. But it's a little more complicated than that because of how the Bible tells us we are saved. Levi did a great job laying that out for us. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. We know that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's this issue of belief that comes into the conversation around salvation, okay? So, that naturally leads to this question then. How can babies or some people with mental limitations believe in Jesus? And some people's answer to that would be, well, they don't need to because they're innocent. But we also need to ask, is that what the Bible teaches? It's not. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. How many of you kids know sometimes you act foolish? Will you raise your hand and be honest about that? Okay, I see some adults being honest too. That's good. You pass the test, adults. We never quite get out of that having foolishness bound up in our heart stage. Psalm 58:3, the wicked have turned away from the womb, from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. Okay? So, the fact that every human is born into a sinful nature that we've inherited going all the way back to Adam, and the fact that the only way to be saved is by trusting Jesus by faith, that leads us to within, I would say, the household of faith, different people looking at this question, there's three different possible answers. Now, at the end of this, I'm going to summarize it, and I'm going to do something I don't often do on controversial things. I'm going to give you my opinion. But I want you to understand what some of these options are and why, because I think it's important. Because of Deuteronomy and what it says about the Lord having secret things, we have to be humble and remember that sometimes two different people that really love Jesus and are seeking for truth could come to different answers about the same thing, all right? That's an important thing for us to remember as Christians, to be humble about that. Okay, so three different possible answers to the question. Number one, babies and young children, because everyone needs to trust Jesus to be saved, some people would say babies and young children do not go to be with the Lord when they die. Number two, some people would say, we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us clearly, and that's true, it doesn't. Some would say, we don't know for sure. Or three, some would say, that God applies the grace of Christ's sacrifice to those who lack mental capacity to understand that they are sinners and need to be saved. Okay, so those are three possible answers that you might hear if you went and Googled this question and different Christians were responding, okay? Now, though the Bible does not directly answer this question, there are some things I believe should lead us to eliminate at least one of these answers, all right? So I'm going to give you those. Now we're trending a little bit towards me revealing what I think the Bible teaches about this, but you don't have to agree with me, all right? But you guys are asking me, so this is what you get, all right? The Bible says we are guilty because we reject either specific or general revelation of who God is. I know this is getting a little bit in the weeds, but it's important that I say this because if what you end up believing is that babies do go to be with Jesus, it's important that you don't say it's just because they're innocent, because the Bible clearly teaches that we are all sinners by nature and choice. Okay, so it's important that we understand that. Okay, so we're guilty either because we reject specific or general revelation of who God is. Okay, so those who hear about their sin and salvation through Jesus, if they reject that, they're rejecting specific or special revelation. That means they're rejecting the specific revelation that we are all sinners and Jesus came to save us and we need to have faith in him. Okay, some people reject that. Romans 1 says, everyone is guilty because the created world around us points to a good and powerful God. And so people should at least be looking for him based on what he has made. That's called general revelation. So there's specific revelation about Jesus, but there's also general revelation in the world. The world is so beautiful and made so specifically for life to exist. The Bible says that we should be at least looking for a good and powerful God based on what has been made, okay? But the question then remains, if a baby or someone with certain limitations can be held accountable to understand some of these things. And there are also verses that seem to point to the possibility that God applies the grace of the cross to those who can't understand these things, all right? So let me give you what I think the Bible does say, that it's not ironclad, but I think it could lead us to feel safe about eliminating one of the three options I shared with you, okay? The first is in 2 Samuel 12, King David has a child that dies. Up until the point the child dies, it's a little baby. The baby is not doing well. David's mourning. He's sad. The baby dies. David gets up, washes his face, and kind of goes about his business. And someone asks him, why are you acting this way? And David says, now that the child has died, he will not come to me, but I will go to him. That's in 2 Samuel 12. Now, that is not enough for us to answer this question, but it does at least tell us that David, the king, he seemed to think that he would be reunited with that child in the afterlife. And he was also called a man after God's own heart, and I think you put all that together, it says something to the subject, okay? Let me also read you Matthew 18. This is something that Jesus said about kids. This is why we like hanging out with kids. Matthew 18, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him among them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So whoever will humble himself like this child, He is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it's better for them that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Okay, so Jesus is the clearest picture we have of what God thinks or would respond to anything. Jesus said that everyone's going to have to become like kids if they're going to be able to receive the kingdom of God. Now again, this in and of itself does not answer the question totally, but it gives me a good idea of how God the Father feels about kids and their status before him, okay? One more verse, Isaiah 7 speaks of a time that before a little boy knows enough to refuse good or refuse evil and choose good, okay? So we've got David in 2 Samuel, what Jesus said in Matthew, and Isaiah's talking about this section of time before a child can refuse evil and choose good. So, kids, the best I can do today is give you what the Bible does say and try to teach you how to navigate things when the Bible doesn't tell us clearly what it is we'd like to know. As I unveil my opinion, I'm going to say something about why I think maybe the Bible isn't as clear as we'd like it to be about this, but even again, I'm a little bit out on a branch in saying that. So remember, God is good. He wants to save us. And remember that we don't know everything about who he is and why he does what he does. So we have to hold to what is clear in the scriptures whenever we're trying to figure out things that aren't clear. That's a good principle for how to study your Bible and how to think through hard things, all right? So here's my opinion on the three options I gave you. The first option was there are some that would say all need to trust Jesus by faith. So babies or anyone else that can't, that they would not be with Jesus in eternity. To that, based on everything we just read, based on what I think is revealed about God's character in his word, my personal opinion is, number one is a big nah. I don't think that's one that should be included. I understand how someone could say that, but to say someone is very confident about that, that what God's gonna do with little babies is not have them be with him forever as a result of what the Bible says, I think they've gone too far. I think they've said too much, and there's too much in the scripture that would make that a position that should not be held, okay? Number two, there's many people looking at everything the Bible says about this, and they say, the best we can say is that we're not sure, but we have to trust in God's goodness and mercy and justice when it comes to this issue. I think that's a perfectly reasonable position to take, and not one that I would try to argue somebody out of. The third, which is that God applies the sacrifice of Christ in some compassionate way to those that are unable to understand that they are sinners and able to know that they need Jesus as a Savior. That, based on what the Bible says, my personal opinion, seems the most likely to me. I think, in my opinion, babies, little children, and those that don't have the mental capacity to understand that they're sinners and that Jesus is the Savior, they're not rejecting general revelation if they don't have the capacity to do that. And I believe the sacrifice of Christ will be applied to them. All three of those options, even though I disagree with number one, and I probably would have a discussion with someone that claims that, all of those are things that I would not tell someone you're not a Christian because they've taken any of those positions, okay? This is a hard thing to sort out. The Bible's less clear on it than most of us wish. And it's a highly emotional question as well. And we got to realize all that. The last thing I'm going to say about it is, and the Bible doesn't tell me this, so we're way out into Pastor Vince's opinion here. So you can take this with a big grain of salt, throw it away if you don't like it. Part of why I think the Bible maybe doesn't answer this question as clearly as we would like is because when you take the totality of what the Bible does say, how God feels about kids, how compassionate and just and merciful and good God is, I think it's possible that it should maybe be more obvious than it sometimes is that this is how God would deal with those that were too little or unable to understand that they're sinners and put their faith in Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus would apply to them because they're not held accountable in that either Romans one way or in terms of specifically rejecting Jesus. Okay? So, that was a little bit more in the weeds than I would normally get on a family worship Sunday, but I'm hoping, kids, if there's any kids in here and you didn't understand part of what I was saying, we're going to have family meal after this, and I'll be in there. I'm happy to answer any questions and talk to you about it. Parents, I'm hoping that for you, that was valuable so that you can avoid just kind of answering your kids' questions based on your first instinct, and we're all learning together how to think through some of these complicated things with a Bible in our hands and the Holy Spirit as our teacher and guide. Okay? Will you guys pray with me? Let's do that. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that on the questions that you have not answered clearly, we can always start by remembering that you are good and not evil, that you want to save people, you don't want to hurt people. And we can also be humbled by the fact that there are secret things that belong to you. There are things that you do and reasons you do them that are far too big for us to even understand. But you have shown us enough in Jesus. You have shown us enough in the fact that you would come and live a perfect life and die in our place and rise from the grave and keep all of your promises, that you would humble yourself like that to serve us and love us. You've shown us enough in Christ that we can trust that whatever you do in any situation, it will be right. We can always trust that you will do what is right because you're the one that determines what is right, because you're God and we're not. We love you very much, Lord, and we know because of your word that you love us. Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Love City Church, located in Cincinnati, Ohio. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To give or find out more about Love City Church, visit www.mylovecitychurch.org.